Well, in lieu of Mother's Day, we're gonna take a little break from our series this morning and kind of head in a different direction. Now, I have to be honest, I had actually spaced that it was going to be Mother's Day this Sunday. As a matter of fact, on Monday, I started looking at the next book in the Bible in our series, through the Bible, and began praying about what God would have me speak on. And it wasn't until Tuesday that I realized, oh, it's going to be Mother's Day this Sunday. It's going to be Mother's Day today now as I'm speaking. And so I took a little pause and just kind of began to process whether or not I was going to continue in our series through the Bible or do something special for Mother's Day. Because the truth is, when it comes to days like today, whether it's Mother's Day, Father's Day, special days like this, sometimes I do special messages, and sometimes I don't. It's just a matter of where I feel God is leading us. And as I was praying and processing about what to speak on this week, the Lord actually led me to an interesting verse. He led me to 1 Kings chapter 3. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can go ahead and flip to 1 Kings chapter 3. The truth is, this passage isn't your typical Mother's Day passage, but it does involve two moms, two mothers. And I do believe that there are some lessons and some encouragement that we can learn here through this scripture about moms as we kind of take a closer look at these verses. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me as we're going to read 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 28. This is what it says. Now two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, "Pardon me, Lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There was no one in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she lay on him. She got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I, your servant, was asleep. She put him by her breast and put her dead son by my breast. The next morning I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son that I had born. The other woman said, 'No, the living one is my son, the dead one is yours.' But the first one insisted, 'No, the dead one is yours, the living one is mine.' And so they argued before the king. The king said, 'This one says my son is alive and your son is dead, while that one says, no, your son is dead and mine is alive.' Then the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' So they brought a sword for the king. He then gave an order, 'Cut the living child in two, give half to one and half to the other.' The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love for her son and said to the king, 'Please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him.' But the other said, 'Neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two.' Then the king gave his ruling, 'Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother.' When all Israel heard the verdict of the king, the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice. And this king we know is King Solomon. This is a well-known story, even for those that didn't grow up in church. And it really highlights the wisdom of King Solomon. As a matter of fact, in the NIV Bible, for this section of Scripture, in NIV it often has titles over sections of Scripture, and it's titled, "A Wise Ruling." But here's the thing, one of the problems with well-known Bible stories, with well-known verses that we've gotten comfortable with, is that we often learn the primary lesson of the story and fail to see other things that we can draw or pull from it. Because this story, it definitely shows the wisdom of Solomon, the wisdom that God had given to him. As a matter of fact, it's at the beginning of this chapter where Solomon asks for wisdom. And so we see that God has given him some of this wisdom that he asked for. And so this section of Scripture, it definitely shows us this wisdom that he received from God. But I believe these scriptures also give us some great insight about mothers. And so this morning, I want to go beyond the wisdom of Solomon that we see in these verses and look at a few things that I think we can learn about mothers. And so I want to share three things this morning to encourage mothers. But the truth is, these things can ultimately encourage all of us. And I'll help you tie that together here at the end. But whether we're a mother or not, these can be encouraging things. And so the first thing I want to point out is this. Number one. There is no such thing as a perfect mother. What? Right? There is no such thing as a perfect mother. Now, you may or may not have noticed that the mothers talked about in these scriptures this morning were anything but perfect, right? And I don't share this point to tear mothers down, but to actually encourage mothers. Nobody's perfect. It's okay, right? No one should be treated with more tenderness and grace than our mothers. I know many who would argue that no one is more caring or compassionate than a mother. And oftentimes when they fail or fall short or make mistakes, we can be harder on moms, right? Simply because they're mom. Because moms are perfect, right? Moms don't make mistakes, do they? The reality is, they do. And moms can actually be harder on themselves at times than anyone else. And this is unfortunate because our moms deserve the same kind of grace that they give to all of us. Now, when we look at this story from 1 Kings, we see here right off the bat that the two mothers here were prostitutes, right? Something I don't actually remember when they told me this story back in Sunday school. I'm not sure why, right? I don't remember that when I first heard this story. I was actually just talking to someone about this last week, the fact that there are a lot of things in my Sunday school lessons that teachers left out when they talk about certain people in the Bible. And as I'm, you know, in ministry and walking through the Bible, I'm like, wait, that's not how I remember the story in Sunday school, right? You know, there's some things we're learning that they don't tell you in Sunday school. And I really didn't realize until I got into ministry the fact that there are quite a few PG-13 and even older stories that we find scattered throughout the Bible. But it tells us here, point blank, that these women were prostitutes, which means that their babies had most likely been conceived in sin. And because I don't remember that from Sunday school, I think this reality seemed to kind of catch my attention as an adult. And it raises the question, why Solomon, king over God's chosen people, why he even took time to meet with these two women, these two prostitutes? Because these women, they were living in sin, and what they were doing was considered wrong according to Jewish law. And so was Solomon, why was Solomon concerned about either of these women? Why would he care what was going on with two prostitutes? Well, I think it was because Solomon was wise. And I believe he was concerned about them because Solomon knew that God was concerned about these women. These women may not have been living up to God's standards, but that didn't mean God didn't still love them and care for them. Something I've talked about numerous times in our series through the Bible is the fact that whether it was the Old Testament or the New Testament, God has always been about forgiveness and restoration. And you know, I've heard numerous people use the phrases the God of the Old Testament or, you know, the God of the New Testament as if they were two different gods, two different people, two different personalities. But the fact is, God has never changed. He has and always will be a God of love and grace. If any of us had to wait for God to love us based on our performance, right? Or based on the lives that we have lived, we would all be in a world of hurt, right? The fact is that there is no such thing as a perfect mother. Just like there's no such thing as a perfect person, right? Except for Jesus, of course. But as we seek wisdom from the King, right? The King of Kings, He helps cover our imperfections. Which then leads me to the second thing that I think we can learn about mothers from this scripture. Number two is this. God is the answer for a mother's imperfections. God's the answer. Now, just in case you weren't sure, a stress-free motherhood doesn't exist. Okay? Just in case you weren't sure, maybe some of you are like, oh yeah, you know. Whether it's, you know, just the pains of giving birth, whether it's the terrible twos or threes, or now they just keep stretching, right? Fours, five, you know, whatever it is. Whether it's the struggles, because then they get into the teenage years, whether it's the struggle of raising teenagers, or maybe it's the hard part of watching them leave home for the first time. We're getting to that point, you know, as our kids get older. But the reality is motherhood is often stressful. And once again, I don't say this to discourage you, right? I'm not saying it to discourage you. I say it to let you know that there's hope, right? There's hope. Because God is the answer for a mother's imperfections. God is willing and able to assist moms with any and all problems that they encounter or come across. You see, God didn't give Solomon wisdom so the people would stand around the palace oohing and aahing, right? Ooh, ah, look at the wisdom of Solomon. He gave Solomon this wisdom for a purpose. If we have gifts, God's given them to us for a purpose. And you see here, God didn't just love these two prostitute mothers. He also loved the baby in this story. God gave His wisdom to Solomon to save this child. And God gives us wisdom for our children. He gives us wisdom for life and the struggles and the challenges we go through, whether it's with our kids, whether it's with work, whether it's with this or that, whatever it may be. And I want you to hear what I'm about to say. Whatever our situation is, whatever it is that we face, whatever it is that we're going through, whatever it is that we're struggling with, God has the answer for it. And maybe even more importantly, God is the answer for it. Whether you're a single mom, a stepmom, a foster mom, an adopted mom, a future mom, a guardian, a mother-like figure, whatever or whoever you may be, God's wisdom and grace is there for all of you. It's there for all of us. You see, the reality is we live in extremely difficult times. And today, a lot of kids have special needs and challenges. But guess what? God knows. He's not surprised. And He will give us the wisdom we need if we seek Him to deal with those things. James 1:5 says this, "If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." If we need wisdom, we have to ask. He doesn't go, oh, well, you know what, you're not good enough for wisdom. He gives it to all of us. It's a matter of us seeking Him and asking Him, because God is the answer to parenting. God's the answer to leading. God's the answer to loving. He's the answer to all of our problems, whatever we face. All we have to do is seek Him, to seek His wisdom and allow Him to be the one that guides and directs us, right? And let me just say this. This is free. It's outside of my notes here, okay? If you ask God for wisdom, and He gives you wisdom, don't say, "Eh, I don't like that. I'm going to do what I want to do." We do that a lot. And then we wonder why life sucks. Seriously, right? Let's seek the Lord. Because with the Lord, even when life sucks, we can have peace, we can have joy, because we're walking in His will and His way for our lives. We have to seek His wisdom and allow Him to guide and direct us. And then the third and final thing I learned about moms from these scriptures, at least I'm not, you know, when you're in Ireland, it's the turd, right? We had a speaker from Ireland speak at our church in Newburgh, and it was the turd point. So I think the furred point is better than the turd point. Anyways, let's get back to what I'm talking about. Third thing I learned about moms from these scriptures is this. I'm glad we can laugh, right? Number three, a mother's love is special. A mother's love is special. The real mother in this story would have rather seen another woman raise her child than to see her child die. That's a loving, caring mom. Oftentimes, as a mother, you have to be willing to sacrifice for your own children. Personal sacrifice is a huge part of motherhood. Think about it. Our mothers fed us. Our mothers nourished us and protected us with their own bodies before we even saw the light of day, right? I don't know anyone who loves me enough to carry me around for 9 months dealing with sickness, puking, backaches, and all the other things that come with pregnancy. And that's just the beginning, right? The reality is a mother's love keeps on giving and sacrificing, right? They give up sleep for the midnight feedings. They give up personal goals, right, to help their children and achieve their goals. I don't even know how many times my mother went without so that I didn't have to. And what about all the things that go unnoticed? All the things they do that we didn't even see or that we just failed to thank them for. I want to play a quick video that I came across this video years ago in youth ministry, but I thought of it as I was talking about this, and I think it points out this truth. And so let's watch this video real quick.
Got a box for you to sign for?
Great, just put it right there.
What is it you guys do?
You don't know?
Know what?
Of course you don't know. I guess that's the point of all this.
I'm sorry, you lost me.
We monitor and collect every unnoticed service, sacrifice, or deed that moms do for their families. Oh, please. Melissa Richardson from Franklin, Ohio, just cleaned Sam and Charlie's room. Neither will notice.
What, that just happened?
4 minutes ago.
Where did she get that information?
Well, I'm not really allowed to say, but you know, here and there.
Okay.
Here comes another one. Sarah Pfeiffer from Long Beach, California, just made her 100th lunch in a row without a thank you, Mom. Haley Cobb from Jefferson, Texas, just did her daughter's forgotten chore of milking the goat. Gross. And last but not least, Jennifer Wright cleaned the whole house, top to bottom, and her husband didn't notice. Ah, and we have video.
You have video?
Check it out.
Hey, babe.
Hey.
How was your day?
Pretty busy.
Oh, yeah?
What do you think?
What do I think about what? Hang on, I gotta get this. McGuire!
He didn't even notice.
So, do you do this for dads as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just a smaller division.
Dads don't do good things for their kids?
Oh, no. They do lots of good things. It's just moms do an exorbitant amount of unnoticed things.
So, how many people do what you do?
Well, this office has 3 shifts, 8 hours a shift, so 3 of us.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
That's it.
So you probably run into a lot of unnoticed acts.
And that's just this office. There are over 5,000 offices worldwide doing exactly what we do. They just keep coming in today. Treated and bandaged the skin knee. We see this one a lot. It's unbelievable.
I wonder if any of my moms are in there.
What's your full name?
Akron Lanier Watts.
A-K-R-O-N?
Yeah.
Wow, looks like your mom's got a lot in there.
Really?
Yeah, typical stuff. Doing lots of laundry, cooking, cleaning. And your mom worked part-time.
She did.
Well, it looks like. Wow.
What?
Your mom also prayed for you.
She prayed for me.
A lot. Oh. Looks like you picked a good mom.
Yeah, I picked it.
Oh, I wonder how many of my moms are in that thing, right? A mother's love is special, and that kind of love, honestly, shouldn't go unnoticed or unappreciated, right? Your mom is still around. I would encourage you, if you have the ability to make sure today that you encourage her, let her know how much you love her and how appreciated you are of things that you didn't even think about when you were a kid, all the things that she did for you. Because I'm sure, you know, most of them appreciate it. But as I wrap things up this morning, this message, it was obviously directed towards moms because of Mother's Day. But the truth is, it really should challenge and encourage all of us here, because none of us are perfect, but God still loves us, right? And He has a plan and purpose for all of our lives. It may not be what we thought it would be or how we thought it would look, but God has a plan and purpose for all of our lives, and whatever it is, it's important to Him. We may think it seems insignificant or think it seems small, but whatever God has for us, it's huge, and we never know the lives that are going to be impacted for us. And God is the answer for all of our imperfections, right? Whether you're a mom or not, He is the answer for all of our imperfections. And we should be seeking His wisdom to really love and to care for those around us, for those that God puts in our lives. Because He is the answer to whatever we're going through or dealing with. And finally, we talked about the fact that a mother's love is special, but the truth is we should all learn to love in this way. We should learn to share the sacrificial kind of love that we see often in moms. Why? Because that's the kind of love that God shows all of us. It's the kind of love He wants us to learn to show not just our kids, not just family members and friends, but to show to everyone. And so even if you're not a mom, don't miss what the Lord is trying to speak to you through this morning's message. And if you are a mom, keep doing what God has called you to do, letting Him cover your imperfections and letting His love shine through you. Amen. Let me pray, finish things up this morning. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this day that we do that we do get to honor and celebrate moms, those that have blessed us and that brought us into this world, Lord. And whether we had great moms or we struggled with our parents or moms or whatever, Lord, we give them to you. And we just thank you, Lord, for your hand upon our lives. We want to be people who seek you with all that we are. We want to be people who, in our imperfections, allow you to meet us where we're at, to cover our imperfections, to be the answers that we need, Lord Jesus, to be our wisdom and our strength in this thing called life. And Lord, ultimately, we just want to learn how to love like you love, Lord. If we could all learn to love like you love, what a different world we would live in. And so, Lord, may we just seek you. May we as believers be different than everyone else. May we learn to have that mother-type love for all people, Lord, caring for those around us. And so, Lord, we thank you for this morning. Again, we just pray a blessing on everyone this morning. Lord, like I had mentioned, for some people, this is a hard day. For others people, it's a wonderful day. But, Lord, we know that you are God and you meet us where we're at, that you meet us in the midst of the struggles and challenges that we face, that, Lord, we can rejoice with you. Lord, we can mourn with you. We can experience you in all things. And so we just pray that you meet each of us where we're at today. Allow your word to speak to our hearts, to encourage us, to challenge us, to help us grow in you. We thank you for these things. We give you these things. In Jesus' name, amen.